We didn't get to the point I really wanted to get to this morning. Time kind of got gone. I was too slow, I guess, and I hadn't stayed enough. Because if you want to condense a message, you study more. And if you preach too long, you don't study enough. So I preached a long time, didn't say much. So I try to condense a little bit more tonight. But this morning we looked at, from this day forth, remember the new king in Israel, Asa. His father was king, his grandfather was king. Neither one of them had that holy serve God, allowed a lot of stuff to come in, different gods, strange gods, altars, worshiping other gods. And here a young kid is. He has assumed the role of being the king of Judah and of Benjamin. And he determines, seems like from day one, I'm going to do things God's way. Now, God put it in his heart, because anything within our own heart never amounts to much. But when God puts you in a place and intercedes and tells you what to do, now, it had already been written. They had the commandments. They knew what they were to do, but they wasn't doing them. And there's nothing, of course, that we need to learn new. There's a lot we don't know that would be beneficial to learn new. But we need to major on that which we already know and start carrying that out. And we know to do good, and that's what he determined. God said, God's doing the writing of the book, and God says he determined to do that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. I'm proud he didn't say, I'll do what I want to do. It's what most people do. So I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Well, he already knew what God wanted him to do. And I got down to a point in the close of chapter 14 I want to concentrate on this afternoon for a little while. Look at the 11th verse, if you will. And Asa cried unto the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. That last phrase. Let not man prevail against thee. Let's get the setting. They have had 10 years of peace. Why? The Bible told us very clear that God gave them peace because they had wholly set their heart on serving him, doing that which was right. As a return for that, God gave them rest. They knew it. They did not sit idly by. They went out and expanded the work of God. They built cities. They fenced them because they knew the enemy was going to come. And they were not idle in their serving God, but they put the talents and the rest to good advantage. Good lesson for us tonight. God gives us 24 hours a day. He hasn't shortchanged any of us, has he? No, we all get the same amount of time. What we do with that time is up to us. They did not sit idly by. They wholly did that which was pleasing unto God, for the most part. Now, the king had in his heart, of course, he makes a commandment, but only the people can do it. And for the most part, the people were keeping those commandments. But now, 10 years later, the enemy, the Ethiopians, had concentrated. They had 1 million soldiers. They were marching toward Judah and toward Jerusalem. The king, Asa, has 580,000, only about half as many. He's not been idle. He's kept a good army, kept him intact, because he knows the enemy's coming. Built walled cities, but he doesn't wait for the enemy to come and tear down the walls. He goes out to meet the enemy. So many times, we, I'm afraid, have sat back and waited, and, well, if they come attack us. No, the battle is out there. We don't sit idly behind walls. We go out and we proclaim the good news, and we fight the battles. But now it comes to day of battle. They're standing in array. He's looking out over a great multitude. His congregation, that's a lot of people, 580,000. But compared to 1 million, that's not sufficient. And he prays to God. Here he is. and he has the confidence. So I want to talk to you tonight about having confidence that God will answer prayer. Wouldn't that be good if when you have a next battle, whether it's sickness, despair, finances, whatever it is, somebody that's lost, going to hell, if God don't change them, drugs, alcoholics, whatever it is, there's a crisis out there, and you know that God is the only one that can do the healing and do the touch. You know it's not you. Asa knew very well that his little army could not, within themselves, defeat double the army. They knew that. So the first thing they had to do was realize that we're weak. We need help. So he approaches God in the battle scene. Lord, help. There's four things he did caught my attention. It'll help us tonight to understand how we can have that confidence. It's possible. First of all, to have the confidence, you have to have faith that God can. And the second thing, we'll go hurriedly, and we'll introduce it, then we'll go back and explain it. We have to know that God can overcome the enemy. There's no thing he can't do. We know that. But the next thing we have to do is have enough faith to believe he will. And that comes with a lot of prayer, a lot of growing in grace and knowledge. But what's helped me most when I come to that situation in my life that it seems all hope is gone except he don't help, and what confidence do I have? What faith do I have? I don't know about you, but for me, and it worked for him too, is looking back at the time that you started with God or sometime in your life when you made a new beginning, and you look back and said that which was pleasing to God was pleasing to you. I'll give you this illustration. My grandfather on my mother's side, many years ago, he was born in 1888, and he had seven children. My mother was the only girl and six boys. And when his wife was really sick years ago, his children had all gone, four boys in World War II at the same time, and his wife was now sick. And he goes to the altar, and he prays this prayer. A lot of you won't know this word. It's an old-timey word. Some of you will. I'll sit by your smiles how old you are. He said, Lord, I want you to cure my wife. Anybody know what the word cure means? Cure, okay? So God knew the language. And he said, I want you to do that. And if you will and send her back home, I'll come to this altar as long as I live once a day and pray and give you thanks. 30 years later, grandma, his wife, goes back in the hospital. A lot older, of course, and now she has heart problems. And the doctors diagnosed her in Mission Hospital that she's not going to make it. You're just too old for surgery, and we just can't do anything. But Grandpa, he told me this. He says, I go back to my altar, and I says, no, my Lord, you cured my wife before when I asked you to, and I made you a promise. I said, if you will, I'll come to this altar once a day and pray and give you thanks for doing that and for everything else. He said, I've not come once a day. I've come twice a day. Without fail. Rain, shine, storms, wind, I've come. I want you to cure her and send her home. I believe it's by 4:30 tomorrow, and I'll know you've done it, not the doctors. He said, something shook me like three men couldn't. Said, prayer is answered. Then the story goes up at Mission Hospital. Grandma goes down for a treadmill test the next day in her 80s. And she just trotting along, old farm girl doing the milk and everything. And they said, what? We don't find anything wrong with your heart. So we summons all the doctors there and Dee there. Here's yesterday and here's today. Miss Glispie, you can go home. She goes home on the time, of course, gets her milk pail and starts to milk the cows. My mother's there, a godly woman that she was, and she said, Mama, you can't go milk. How come? Well, you've got this heart condition. And Grandpa says, now, daughter, God cured her. And she outlived Grandpa by 3 years. Now, I say that to tell you this. He made God a promise. If you'll do this for me, I'll do this and I'll come faithfully as long as I live. And then he went back and he had the assurance that God's going to answer prayer because he did what he told God to do and deviled it. Don't you think that would give you confidence? What if he went back to God the second time 30 years later and he had not been faithful? Well, it's cold today. I don't feel good. Making excuses like most of us do. Do you really think they had enough confidence, they had enough faith to ask God to do that thing? I don't think so. Asa had the confidence to believe that God would intervene. He said, there won't be a problem for you, God, whether it's little, whether it's big. You're God, we're yours. I have done what you told me to do. I kept the faith, and I've got this confidence. Let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 15. We saw many things that he had done. He got rid of the idols. He got rid of the groves, broke them down. In the 15th chapter of 1 Kings, we're told some more things here in verse 9. And then the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. And 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Micaiah, the daughter of Absalom. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father, not like his mother, and not like his father, and not like his father, but like David, a man after God's own heart. And he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his father had made. And also Micaiah, his mother, even her he removed from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa destroyed her idol and burned it by the brook Kidron. That takes a lot of old-timey word called gumption. My mother's a queen, been a queen when he was a little boy. And now she has a lot of power. But she's doing that which he said, God, I'll remove the idols. And she had the audacity to go out and break that rule. Let's read that again. Micaiah's mother, even her, he removed from being queen. Why? Because she had made an idol in the grove. Sometimes we like to bend the rules. God doesn't like it when we bend the rules. That's not doing that which is good and right in the eyes of the Lord. Whether it's mama, or whether it's grandpa, or whether it's my son, my daughter, whatever it is. He had the faith to believe. He had the courage. And we'll talk about courage a little. Sometimes it takes courage to stand for God. To do in this day and time in particular, and in his day and time, that which is right and pleasing before God takes a lot of courage. You're not going to be liked by society. You're not going to be liked by all the church people. You're just not going to. Do you think his mother appreciated the fact that he said, you're no longer queen, mama? You step down. I'm removing you from your office. Why? Because you did that which was displeasing to God. And I made God a vow. I'm going to hold true to that. God has put me in the position I'm in, and I'm going to bring honor and glory to his name. Now, to do that, I can't let you do what you've done because all idols are gone, mama. And she wouldn't adhere to it, so remove. Sometimes it does take courage. Look what else he did. He took away the Sodomites out of the land. Boy, that took a lot of courage, didn't it? What God said to do, so he just done it. I'm sure he was ridiculed, and I'm sure he was destroyed in his name. He done all this, and this was in my family that I don't. He done it. Why? He couldn't do that which was good and right, please the Lord, if he didn't do that thing. Well, it takes courage to do that which is good and which is right. I mean, you might as well face that at the beginning. If you want to get to the place to have confidence that God's going to hear your prayer and you're going to answer the prayer that you pray when the enemy is out to get you, you're going to have courage. If you don't plan to have that courage, you're not going to get there. But he had courage at everything God told him to do. So now he could face the enemy. There's a million out there. It didn't matter if there's 10 million. Lord, we need help. I've got confidence to believe and know that you're going to help us. Why? Because I've done that which was good and right in your sight. And I know that you will hold true to your word. You'll bless those that bless thee. You'll honor those. But the second thing I want to look at is, and this overwhelmed me, back to the first place we were in chapter 14 and verse 12, at the end of the verse. He said, Lord, I want you to do it. Your power is not constrained. There's no constraint in your power. And I've got confidence to believe you will, because I've done that which I said I would do. And you have given us rest, but now the enemy is coming. We're prepared for him. We got the walls built. We do not stand idly by. We're not wasteful in the resources. We built Judah for you. How do you know it's for you? Oh, it's pretty clear. O Lord of God, help us, for we rest in thee. We have the assurance and we have a knowledge of knowing that we can't do it within our own strength. You see, a lot of times we have some things in our life that think, I can make it, you know, I'll serve God, but I can do this thing. No, he will bring us to the place that we'll realize we can't do anything. We're just weak and undone. And when we come to that place and realize it's your strength, it's not my strength. In thee alone I stand. For we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. The second thing we need to look at is, it wasn't his name. Sometimes we pray selfishly, and the reason we do is to consume it upon our own lust. Ask anything in my name, and that will I do. If it brings glory to God, if it honors him, if we've done that which we've told God we would do, if we've kept his promise, but if we do it to bring it upon our own selfishness. He said, it's not us. This army, 580,000 people, and if they get by us, they've got Judah. They've got their women. They've got their children. They have conquered the land. The enemy's out there. And God, they're not our enemy alone. They're your enemy. Wouldn't it be good if we'd all realize that we're on God's side? Hey, listen, if anyone's an enemy of God, they ought to be your enemy. They better be your enemy. Because if we're on God's side, he's got a lot of enemies. The financial system, the judicial system is gone in America. You know, there's not the laws that are, the laws aren't being enforced. I mean, it's rotten to the core. We know that. We have to realize the fact that if we get help, it's got to be from God. We have to have a constant belief that we're resting in him. And you can't have that unless you look at these last two things. And in thy name, we go against this multitude. Here's a good way I've learned to know and have confidence that God's going to answer my prayer. I just kindly have the idea, what's the end result? I want God to do this for me, and I want him to, if it's a lost soul, I know that's his will. A lot of times you say, Lord, if it's your will, I want you to give us a new church, or if it's your will, I want you to heal that person. May not be God's will. But one thing I know, it's his will to save that which was lost. God says that he had no joy in sending souls to hell. He doesn't send them to hell. They go on their own. It's not God's will that any should perish, that I know. So if it's praying a prayer for a lost individual, I just pray that they'll recognize their lostness and give me a burden that I will be able to pray for them and love them so much I don't want to go to hell. I didn't want Hitler to go to hell. I mean, Hitler was, you know, a lot of bad stuff and killed a lot of Jews. But I wouldn't even want any soul to go to hell, even Hitler or Mussolini or anybody else that's ever done wickedly. God didn't either. But they spurned the invitation and they didn't bow before him. Therefore, they sent their self to hell and people are today. But when I pray those prayers, but the thing I did, if I asked God to do something for me, I analyze the situation. Is this selfish? Am I doing it for prestige, popularity? If I am, I just snub it off. Not going to waste my time. You won't waste God's time because he don't listen to that anyway. But I try to analyze the situation. And then if I say something to God, I want you to do this. Let me give you another for instance. Years ago, my mother had cancer before I started preaching. I took a Saturday off, which I did many times, and I'd go over to the farm, and I'd just go up in the woods and take me a little picnic lunch, and I would just pray and seek God's face all day long. And I found me an altar, a place for an altar up there. And the FBI couldn't find me if they got after me. It's back in the boonies in Madison County. And there I was. My mother had cancer. And I went to my altar and I said, Lord, I want you to cure my mother of that cancer. And I was humble and sincere. And it wasn't a selfish thing. I did it for my mother. I did it because she's a great soldier of the cross. I surely didn't do it for prestige to try to say, if you answer that prayer, I'll put myself up here. No, no, no. I analyzed the situation. I said, God, I know you could. If it's your will, heal my mother. And you know what God said to me? I will if you'll do this for me. It wasn't any problem to surrender that thing I was doing. What was it? Now, your business, that was between me and God. But I'll tell you right now, I woke up during the middle of the night and God gave me that. And God healed my mother. If my mother had died with cancer and she lived to be almost 94 years old, she lived 50 years after that. But God spoke to me and told me to do something. I will. If you, what if I hadn't done that? I'd have been so guilty. And I'm telling you, we got to have the confidence to pray to God and know He is going to answer that prayer. And Asa did. We can have that confidence too, but there's one other thing. We'll be closing. First of all, in thy name we go against this multitude. No selfishness about that. We're 580 people strong, but we're your people. This is your people. And you have to recognize and realize that you're sold out to Him. You have to be, we know we're soldiers of the cross, but we have to act like soldiers. We can't proclaim to be soldiers of the cross if we aren't doing what He expects us to do. You'll have no confidence in your prayer life that way. And you don't have any confidence, you don't have any faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And He said, I could do not many miracles in Nazareth because of unbelief. If we have this halfway believer, this 9% halfway belief, and we don't understand it, that we have 100% confidence God will answer prayer if we do these things and submit to His lordship. Now look what He says. O Lord, Thou art our God. Can't have any doubts about that. I belong to Him. He's in charge of my life. Every step. Whatever He says do, I must do willingly. No questions asked. I'm a servant. He's God. Which brings Him to this final clause. Let not man prevail against thee. Ooh, did you catch it? Jesus out there with 580,000 people about to get trumped without God. The city is going to be annihilated. The wall is going to be torn down. They know that. And He has the courage. He has the confidence to say that God, this is not our battle. The enemy is not fighting against us. They're fighting against you. Boy, that's confidence, isn't it? You can't pump that up. You have to have it by doing what God told you to do. And I realize we're not perfect. We make mistakes. But when we do, we have to humble ourselves before a mighty hand of God and bow down and say, Lord, I messed up again. And I used to say, and I learned better, Lord, if you'll forgive me for messing up, I won't do that again. And then I had to go back the next time I'd done something or said something or acted a certain way and get forgiveness for lying. You know, there's a lot of things we expect to do and ought to do, but we ought to always act and do and be as prayerful as we ought to be. James says, if any man know to do good and doeth it not, to him is a sin. I wouldn't even attempt to ask you now, have you done everything you have known to do even today? No. I didn't pray enough. I didn't read enough. I didn't have enough burdens. So before I go to bed at night and during the course of the day, I said, Lord, forgive me for not doing all that I know to do. And I'm not perfect, and you aren't either. But if you have a heart toward God, and you're doing and trying and striving to do what God expects you to do, then you can pray the prayer as He did. Let not man prevail against you. Lord, this is not our battle. If the enemy wins this battle, it'll be you. That's what Moses did, was it not? God had got so irritated and so mad at those stiff-necked, he called them that, stiff-necked, hard-hearted people, those Israelis. He said, they won't follow me. They won't follow you, Moses, and you're my man. I'm going to destroy every one of them. But don't worry about it. I'll make of you a great nation. And Moses said, God, do you know what that would do to your name? And God heard and answered that prayer. When you can get to the place to know and realize that it's not you, it's him in you, the hope of glory. And if God does it for you, the world will know, you'll know, and you'll tell the world that it wasn't me. It was him in me. It's his battle. And the enemy is out there trying to tear America down. And America's no shape right now to say that we're serving God. We know we aren't as a nation. We may be on our coins and God we trust, but we know our nation isn't trusting on God. Most people aren't. God knows that. But I'm talking about individually. We can get to the place individually. He told us we can, we can. Asa did to say, God, here we are. And it looks like we're us, but we really aren't. We're you. You're in us. And God, if they defeat us, they've defeated you. And I know you won't let that happen. That wasn't selfish, was it? That was confidence that only comes when you have a courage to stand against sin and when you have the love of God in your heart and you have a consecrated life and a clear conscience. God, I've done everything I can. Paul did that. Paul says, I might go down fighting in the wheel, but I sure have strived to keep the faith. And Jude tells us my favorite verse. If anyone ever asked me to write a verse in their Bible, it's Jude, verse 3. Earnestly contend for the faith. What faith? That was once delivered to the saints. Stand faithful. And then when disaster comes, and it will, when trouble comes, and it will, heartache comes, and it will, you can have the confidence to say, God, if I go down, it's really you, because I am believing in you, and you're living in me. Confidence, courage to stand against sin. Would you stand in that, your heads are bowed? Missy, come sing a song, sing an invitation, Brother Bill, too, if you're able. Your heads are bowed, whatever the need is in your life. So many times, me, get to the place when you intercede to God and you need something, I mean, you need it desperately. Without the help he's going to give you, you know you're headed for disaster one way or another. And many times and most times, I have to check up on my prayer life. Have I done what I told you I'd do? I don't have any faith the other way to ask him to do something when I haven't done my little part. I mean, he could. But remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And if I promised him to do something and haven't done it, I just don't have the confidence to believe he's going to hear me. He could if he wanted to, but I just don't believe it. And you can't either. That's God's way. Confidence and courage. And it'll work. It did for Asa. Whatever the needs are tonight. There'll be times, maybe now in your life and in the future, we got to have God. The courage to stand, having done all to stand. And to do what God bids us do. Your head's bowed. Lord Jesus, you see us just as we are. You see me, Father, I'm a failure. Haven't done nearly what I could do. I feel so ashamed. Lord, I want to strive to do better. Help me to do better. Help me to do as Asa. Stand in the face of the enemy and say, Lord, I know you won't fail. Because failure is not in your vocabulary. And when you help us win this battle, it'll be you winning the battle for yourself. And Father, I thank you that you record in your word that you did come down and defeat the enemy for them. And you told us why. Because Asa had done that which was good and right in your eyes. And you rewarded him and his nation. Father, I plead for America. We have strayed, we have stranded. The only hope is in Christ. And right now, I don't have a courage or the confidence to say, God, protect America, because I know we as a nation. Oh, I want you to, I'd like you to, and I wish you will, but I don't have a confidence or the faith to believe that you will, because we haven't done that which was pleasing in your sight. We still aren't. We're murdering babies, defying you as a nation, saying we don't want the name of Christ mentioned. And Lord, I want you to protect us and, as a nation, but unless we turn back to you, I just don't know if you will or not. If I were you, I wouldn't. But God, that's you. Help us, Father, to live a life pleasing before you, to return as a nation, as a people, that which we used to be, one nation indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. In the name of Jesus, in the name of God, the name which is above every name. Lord, I know this is not a popular message, but I'm not preaching popularity. I'm just preaching to do that which is good and right in your eyes. If I do that, I'll be accepted. I want to thank you for your precious word, for your instructions, for your guidance, for the things you help us day by day in. I want to be thankful and help us be about your business in these wicked last days. Thank you for trusting us in these days. We love you, Lord. Amen. Misty.
Sometimes I must be a nail in his hands. Sometimes a thorn on his brow. While he should love me, I can't
mind the Lord and that, done what God told you to do. Obedience, God says, better than sacrifice. Pleasing Him, following Him, listening to Him. We have no right to say no. You may say just a minute.
For my family, for their health. And I was standing back there and Misty started playing that song, and he has blessed me and my family more than I could ever deserve, and I'm so, so unworthy. But I just want to get up here. I feel like if I don't, I'll miss something. And this week, my youngest one had some tests done. She was having some headaches, and you know, it looks like everywhere you turn, there's sick kids. And I really wasn't worried about it, but I guess the mama, you mamas will understand, the daddies will be complete fine, but any kind of test that's done on your baby, you always fear the worst. And she was having headaches, and we had an MRI on her, but it's clear, and I just want to come just praise him. It could be so bad. There's kids that's sick everywhere you turn. I feel like that there's cancer, and I just want to come up here and publicly thank him for my healthy babies.
Amen. Thank you, sister. Mind the Lord. Anyone else?
For the past 7 or 8 months, I have told my church family several times about my niece's husband, Reed Taylor, who has had troubles for the past 7 or 8 or 9 months, been out of work, back and forth to Duke, test and then go back, test and then go back. But he gets to go back to work in May after being out of work all this time. He's a district attorney, a good Christian young man, and I thank God for answering prayer. And I thank the Lord up on the mountain for the fact that he had allowed me to have another birthday, April the 7th. I know I don't look like it, and you'll never believe it, but I turned 72. I thank God for every day, for every blessing. How could I take his blessings and then not thank him in return? Bless his name, what a Savior. I'm not worthy, and I don't deserve anything, but I praise him for his goodness to me. Hallelujah.
Amen. Anyone else?
For curing her from leukemia.
Yeah.
He didn't just put her in remission. He cured her, and I know he did. He told me that night that he was going to, and he'd done everything he said he would do. And I promised him I would praise him for the rest of my life, and I want to praise him tonight for that. She turned 13 this past March, and teaching Sunday school. She's been saved at 10 years old, and she's doing great. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just remember, a lot of people's having surgery this week, and Miss Carolyn's having surgery this week. Let's remember her Friday, I believe. Other objects, prayer? Everyone, then what God told you to do. Stand. Okay.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the good message we heard. Thank you for the privilege and opportunity to be in your house tonight. Lord, we thank you for the testimonies to uplift your precious name, Lord. We thank you, God, for saving us, for forgiveness of sin, that you're able to save to the uttermost. We love you. I pray, Lord, you'll be with us as we go home tonight. Lord, bring us back safely through the week. We bless you and honor you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.